You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Okay, welcome back to Two Amigos. My name is Carter Melrose, and this is our second show on DolphinsTalk.com under the podcasting banner. Welcome to the show, Jorge.
Hey, Carter. By the way, I've got to say that you're getting our name wrong, man. It's not Two Amigos. It's Tua Amigos.
What do you mean? That would be double pronouncing the A.
Yeah, but it's Tua Amigos.
Do you want to start saying it, Jorge? Do you want me to let you start saying it?
Yeah, I think it's just because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Tua's, the way you pronounce Tua's last name, and you're getting the first name wrong, man.
But it's so great
to be here with you today.
You know, and before we started the show, I said I had some big news, you know, that I wanted to share with you. I want to share some personal life stuff with the viewers as much as I can, so that, you know, you and I can be just a family. But before, I was like, Jorge, guess what it is? He thought I had bagged Reed Sinnott for the show. I haven't bagged Reed Sinnott as of yet, but if I do, and I think it's in the works, I'm not gonna say too much. That will be the best show of all time because he was legendary against the Bengals. Legendary.
Yeah, we're so happy that we're able to, you know, reach out to him still because we were scared that he was gonna sign with the Patriots, by the way.
Oh, I know. That would have been the biggest bummer. You were even saying on Twitter, if this happens, Carter is going to have a mental breakdown. And
yeah,
I think I would have,
man.
Yeah. I was already like the wheels were turning. Like, what am I going to do? Something crazy. Maybe key someone's car. I don't know. You know, but here is the news. And I just want to touch it really quick. I had a date on Tuesday and it went well. And I kissed the girl. And look at Jorge's face. He's going, oh my gosh, this guy's a pimp now. This guy.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. We've been trying to get you a date for the last 2 years, man.
I know. Jorge's been sending people Venmo money just to get me a date. He couldn't do it.
I just want to say that I've not done that because that would be like a crime in some states. But we have tried to reach out to some people and just get carted out there. And I'm so happy for you, man. Is she a Dolphins fan?
I think she's from Wisconsin, so I think she's a Packer fan.
All right, break up with her right now.
Okay, now that you say that, I'm going to break up with her. Thank you.
It's great. So I think we should have her as a guest on the show soon.
I don't think she'd be able to talk Dolphins football, but if she does, and if we're on the path of marriage, I just wanted that to be out there. So this is the moment we come back to. Maybe we play this part of the podcast at our wedding. I don't know. It's possible.
So happy for me. So
okay. Well,
I know that our listeners, by the way, on our second show on Dolphins Talk, are so engaged, are so committed, and just so invested on your personal love life that they're going to love this news.
Well, to be more specific, it's my sex life. But, you know,
dude, just don't go there, man. Just don't go there.
And I think they are committed. Okay, let's touch on some quick headlines. Dolphins football, of course.
All right, let me just start with a disclaimer. Okay. Guys, we're not going to talk about another team's guy that some people have suggested the Dolphins should trade for, right? Or stance, and I think Carter and I have been very clear about this, is that there's things that are more important than football. Values matter. And we're not going to talk about a guy that's been accused by 20 plus women of, you know, some really, really bad things. We're not going to talk about that in this show. We're not going to talk about that guy until he's cleared of any wrongdoing.
Yes. And if you need any other evidence, just look at the show title. I mean, we make it pretty clear every single episode who we are for. Okay. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's quick touch on the headlines. I tried to make you go into it a little bit. Dolphins, Bengals, just anything, just quick touch on it. And then we'll move on.
I mean, there's a lot of depth on this team on certain positions, right? I mean, quarterback's one of them. Reed Sinnott he looked great. You've got Jacoby Brissett ahead of him. The Dolphins receivers, you know, Kirk Merritt, I'm so happy he's back on that practice squad. So disappointed that Malcolm Perry left. I think, you know, we're all concerned about the same sort of positions, which is the offensive line, right? I mean, the first unit is probably half decent right now at best. We're hoping that it's going to become a top 10 unit by the end of the season, but right now it's not a guarantee at all. And behind them, the depth is concerning at this point.
That was a heck of a spiel, but the only thing I have to say about the Dolphins and the Bengals game is that Reed Sinnott is a god, and I'm glad that he's on our practice squad. And of course, like we said, he may or may not be on the show in the coming weeks. But here's what I want to move on to, and I think this is, before we go into the cuts, of course, we move down to 52, but before we go there, I wanted to touch on some other headlines from across the NFL. Cam Newton is dead and gone. What do you think that means? What do you think that means for week one? What do you think that means for the Patriots?
I know there's been a lot of disrespect against Mac Jones and Dolphins Twitter. I understand where that's coming from. I think some of it is unwarranted. I think he's going to be a decent, solid quarterback. I always compare Mac Jones to Chad Pennington, not necessarily skill-based, but like career path, where he's going to be a guy that's going to allow teams to win around him, and he's not going to make that many mental mistakes. I think he's a quarterback that's very different from Justin Herbert in that sense that we all talked about. Yeah, the Dolphins defense against Justin Herbert looked great. Yeah, but you know, Justin Herbert's a gunslinger, right? They're going to make mistakes. Mac Jones, much different style quarterback. He's very careful with the ball, which I think we're going to see a run heavy game against the Dolphins defense, something we struggled against last year against physical teams. So honestly, I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for the Dolphins against Mac Jones, but I think we should win.
And me personally, I think this is going to be 1,000-0. The Dolphins win 1,000-0. I don't know. At this point, Mac Jones playing his first game, it's going to be like Tannehill versus the Texans.
Yeah, okay? But do you think they're going to put the game on Mac Jones' shoulders? I don't. I think they're going to try to run the ball
right
inside with those big tight ends and then feed off play action and try to catch the Dolphins back end looking into the backfield. Here's the thing. If the Dolphins offense is able to set the tempo and get ahead by 7-10 points early on, I agree with you. We're going to see 3 picks by Mac Jones. It's going to be a blood fest. The Dolphins defense are going to have 4 sacks. Here's the thing. I think the Patriots defense is going to be very good this year. And I'm not sure if our offensive line is going to match up that well against them. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be a 6-3, 9-7 sort of game.
You're right. It's going to be a blood match. It's just going to be in the trenches and all that fun stuff. But the thing that I am really focused on in this game now is that, like we said, we don't have that runner to worry about. We don't have to put anyone spying for Cam Newton now. So all you do is you press the crap out of these wide receivers and they're all bad. I don't see a good wide receiver on that entire team.
So here's the thing. We've got one tight end eraser, right?
True.
But they've got 2 very good tight ends.
Yes, and they'll use both, obviously.
All right, so that's the big matchup that I'm worried about. If they start, if they start running the ball successfully, 4 yards, 5 yards first down, and they start feeding off play action to those tight ends, I think that the Dolphins defense could be for a longer day than we're expecting.
You're thinking that so let's say it's Jonnu Smith is the one mismatch for this Dolphins defense. You think Jonnu Smith by himself, that mismatch is going to make it so that Mac Jones goes 1-0?
I think the running game is going to be key. The Dolphins' defensive line improves and is able to put them in those like long third downs where it's a pass coming and they've got to move the ball 7-8 yards down the field, then I think it's an easy win for the Dolphins. But sure, if the Patriots' running game is able to set the tone and they go into 2nd-and-1, 2nd-and-2, 2nd-and-3 all day long, I think it's going to be a longer day than we're expecting.
Okay, that's fair. And I think these types of games piss me off because of the very narrative of the thing. It's like, okay, well, it's Tua versus Mac Jones is the narrative people are making up. And you know that's going to be the narrative. But I think it would be fair to say that it's, like you said, it's not going to be Tua versus Mac Jones. And for no reason, I think we should lose this game. I think almost across the board, I think we kind of, like you said, the only mismatch is maybe that second tight end.
And I think the other mismatch is the Patriots front 7 against their offensive line.
Okay,
but I think our wide receivers are much better than their secondary, for sure. I don't think they have a guy that can erase Gesicki from the game. I'm just not sure if we're going to see the Dolphins going into 2nd-and-5, 2nd-and-4, being able to use that play action, that quick RPO, or if we're going to see Hightower just crashing into Tua play after play.
And also, another part of that is Gilmore's gone.
Yeah.
Right,
but they've got a very good front 7. Would you agree with that, though?
No, for sure. They have a great defense overall, and I never count Belichick's defense out.
Yeah, they've got that Davon Godshaw who's playing a revenge game against the Dolphins. They've got Matt Judon coming into that defense. Hightower is coming off a year where he was basically able to recover, take care of his butt, and then just come back, and he looked like a beast during that preseason. So yeah, I think if the Dolphins are able to get the ball out quickly, your guy, Gaskin is able to get some yards in first down, second down, because in some positive third downs, I think it's going to be an easy game.
Oh,
but right now,
will.
I don't see that happening, though.
I think Gaskin will be fine. I think Gaskin will be fine. You know what? Okay, this is the last thing I'll say about this Patriots game because we're going to have to talk about it like all next week.
Yeah.
This is what I'll say. Okay, if the I'm so confident, I'll put my balls on the line right now, okay? I'm so confident that the Patriots get blown out like 1,000-0. Then I'll say this. The girl that I talked about earlier in the show, if we lose, I'll just break up with her. I'll break up with her live on the show.
Please don't put your love life that's been so hard to actually get going on the line on a Dolphins game.
If we lose, I will break up with her live on the show. I promise you all, okay?
By the way, if she listens to this, she's going to break up with you. You know that, right?
I'm never going to tell her about this show. I'm never telling her about this show. Okay, but that's what I think about that game coming up. Okay, so we also had a bunch of cuts. Any of them mean anything to you?
Malcolm Perry, man. You know, I was a big fan of him last season. I had hopes for him this season. I hoped he was going to be back in the practice squad. Obviously, the depth of that wide receiver room was just crazy, which is good. But honestly, I think he could be a solid player. I saw some comparisons of him to Wes Welker. I don't think that's going to be a case at all. But I do think he's the sort of player that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick always manage to bring out the best of. And they're going to use him in a bunch of different formations and stuff like that. I'm not sure if it's going to be too soon to see him against the Dolphins, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a nice role in that offense throughout the year.
So you think he'll play week one?
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that he's going to have time enough to, you know, get in that playbook and stuff like that, unless their wide receiver depth is way softer than we thought originally.
I think Malcolm Perry, that's one that obviously touches us all a little bit because we thought we were grooming this kid to play like a little gadget player for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, we just didn't have the room for him. And now he's going to be a little snitch over in New England. He's just going to tell him all our plays. Why not? Yeah. The thing I would say, I don't know. I think it's great keeping Kirk and Reed, the duo, of course.
What do you think about Bernardrick McKinney, though? That was a big shock.
Oh, my goodness. When I saw that, I was just like, did they accidentally do that? Did they accidentally push enter? And then they're like, oh, no, we just cut one of our players. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. I think everyone was shocked by Landon Roberts coming back from that injury looking so strong. And they were basically the same player, right? A big thumper down the middle is going to be a big player in the goal line that's going to stop the run. And I think that's why. Then again, the two big, you know, acquisitions that they made of veterans, you know, Matt Shkura on the offense. Obviously, I'm not counting Will Fuller here, but Matt Shkura on the offense, Bernardrick McKinney on the defense, they were both cut. And I mean, that's something I love about this front office and this staff. Like, if you're not performing, I don't care what your status is, you're gone.
I know, but he was so cheap. And I thought, and our linebackers are not very deep.
I don't know. I think we've got a lot of depth, actually. I mean, Jerome Baker, you know, and Landon Roberts are probably going to be those two in the middle. Every, you know, it's first down and run play. Then you've got Sam McGovern, who was, by the way, great in the preseason. He was absolutely a beast. Then you've got Van Ginkel, Phillips, you know, even Ogbeck coming in to play that outside role a little bit. So I think we've got some depth there. And I mean, I'm more concerned about the outside and the rushers than I am inside the linebacker unit.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I was still really, really surprised when I saw that because he was
a shock.
He was really cheap and he was a pro bowler and we traded Shaq Lawson for him. And you're just like, okay, well, this seems like we lost.
Shaq Lawson was also traded away, by the way, from the Texans. He was traded to the Jets, which
I know that's so funny that both of us thought that, okay, well, you know what? Shaq Lawson kind of sucks. We're going to win this trade. And then they both ended up going, actually, they both suck. We're gone with both of them. So
yeah.
I guess no one won that trade, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so moving on, though, the last thing I want to talk about in terms of cuts and like moves and stuff like that, Grant gets restructured and somehow the small man is still on the roster. What do you think?
Look, I think he's an elite returner. I think I've made my feelings about him as a receiver clear throughout the shows.
Yes, you have. You're really to him.
Look, I think his strength is as a returner, as a gadget player. I think he struggles locating the ball over his shoulder. He's not going to, you know, win a jump ball down the field. And he's not, I mean, I've read that he's improved on his route running, but I haven't seen it myself. So, I think that if he starts having, you know, considerable snaps as a wide receiver, there's something wrong down the line.
I don't think it's ever been his route running that we've been worrying about. Maybe it's you know, his catching ability.
It's just his catching ability. It's not like that's important for a wide receiver, right?
Right. The most important thing about a wide receiver, the bare minimum. You know, the thing I'll say about Grant, though, I think it's the only reason I'm okay with him staying is, right, it makes sure that Waddle doesn't have to return. I love that. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want that little he's basically a graham cracker. He's breaking so much in camp. I'm kind of done with Waddle running anything unnecessary. And then the second reason is he's best friends with Devontae Parker.
Yeah, with Unk. Yeah, yeah.
And I can't break those two up. I can't.
Oh, here's my question. How do you rate the Dolphins wide receivers right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 is Will Fuller.
Okay.
2 is Waddle. 3 is probably Parker from there. And then 4 overall, you have to put Albert Wilson.
All right. Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think I would put Devontae Parker probably aligned with, you know, with Will Fuller. I think Jalen Waddle and Albert Wilson are very similar. I think Waddle is a better route runner. But you know, with the ball in their hands, they're both equally flashy. I think the big surprise in that unit right now is Mac Collins, right? Who's actually earned himself some playing time as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's looked great. I think I have a hunch he's going to be a captain of that offensive unit, or if not the special teams unit. And then the one disappointment, or I wouldn't say disappointment, the one player I disagree with is Preston Williams.
And Preston.
I know there's a lot of guys that I respect, that love the kid. Jason Sarney, by the way, had stuff. He had it, you know, he had right all along that he was going to be in the final roster.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Half the job is actually being available, and he hasn't been available an awful lot during his seasons, right? So
never.
I just that's the thing, right? If he's able to remain consistent, play the full season, play a considerable number of snaps, then I'll take it back. It's great that he's there. But I think Kirk Merritt right now would be more of an upside on that active roster.
It's so funny to me that he was like, oh, okay, for the last time, Christian Wilkins did not hurt my foot. And then I'm like, well, if he didn't hurt your foot, then you hurt your foot by just walking, which is so much worse, okay? It's so much worse that you would have hurt your foot unprompted. The last thing I'll say on Preston Williams is we do not need Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, and Mac Hollins in this offense. We don't need 3 possession wide receivers.
Here's the thing, and I was reading this, and I think it was Matty Infante who said this, and if not, I apologize, but it was basically, look, the Dolphins have now 2 different units for a wide receiver, right? They can play the track, you know, the track meet, just having speed out there with Albert Wilson, Jalen Waddle, and Will Fuller. Or if you need to play basketball out there and just like jump balls, you know, got Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, you know, Mike Gesicki, Mac Hollins. So now you've got both that speed and that size. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Dolphins have different packages. If, for example, in the goal line, they're going to bring in the big guys to try to get those jump balls. That's going to be interesting to me. And then also another thing with Mac Hollins, and I think Preston Williams, to a lower degree, they're both very good run blockers. They're going to get in there. They're going to put their bodies in there. Something which, by the way, Malcolm Perry was very bad at. I mean, there's just one clip on Twitter going around that shows how bad he is at run blocking.
Yeah, I've seen it. You know, the thing is, okay, that's fair. Okay, we have those 2 units, which is so cool, right? And then we can, but it's money for me then, okay? So it's money for me. I don't think Devontae Parker needs to be there if Preston Williams and Mac Collins can do what he can do for like $8 million less or whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was talking to a reporter that, you know, has a lot of his attention on the Dolphins. He's not a Dolphins beat writer guy, and I'm not gonna name him because I don't want his Twitter, you know, just flooded with comments. But he and I agree that Devontae Parker would have been a great, you know, player to trade away for some offensive line starting quality player.
Ooh, that's what they should have done, dude. That's what they should have done. Oh, if we had some offensive line help for that room, and then we could also have probably added another wide receiver in there. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's move on. Okay. Apparently, I think it's time for the first debate of the show. No. It's not time for the first debate of the show.
As you can all see, like Carter has this really like scripted out, and he's not making things up on the fly.
No. I have a template. I have a template, but it's not. You know, the last 20 minutes we've just been talking off the cuff. Okay, so let's do this. let's do a game show, okay? And I stole this game show directly from Colin Coward because he did it this week. And I'm like, you know,
oh,
what?
Is it going to be the tour thing?
Yes, I want to do it.
Fine.
Okay, thank God. Because I think it is interesting. I think it's so funny that he created this game show. And then he's like, hey, this is to prove that I don't hate Tua. But it did not prove that at all. I think it's called Tua, or I don't remember the other name. So
Go ahead.
I think it's called Tua or someone else. That's what we're going to call it. Okay. Okay. For the next 3 years, who would you rather want? And then we'll go through this list and we're going to see how it kind of compares to Colin's list. You want the first one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who would you want for the next 3 years, Cam or Tua?
Tua.
Okay, that's an easy one. If you want to go further on these, you can. But Mac Jones or Tua?
Tua.
Okay. Zach Wilson or Tua?
Look, I'm a huge fan of Zach Wilson. You knew this before the draft, but I'm still going to pick Tua.
Okay.
Joe Burrow. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. I'm going to tell you why. Because I think Zach Wilson is a gunslinger. I get that mentality. It's fun. It's attractive. But I honestly like Tua's cerebral approach to the game, the way he's careful with the ball. So that's why I'm going with Tua.
You're going to go Tua there. Okay. Yep. Tua or Joe Burrow?
Tua.
That's one that's debatable. That's the one I would be say the first is look, debatable. So give me a reason.
I'm concerned about Joe Burrow because I'm not sure if what the Bengals are doing to him is exactly what Texas did to Carr. You know, just a terrible offensive line, just no protection. He's already been severely injured. They didn't do anything to help that offensive line early in the draft. You know, Jamar Chase doesn't look good so far. So right now I prefer Tua just because I've seen his confidence coming back from that injury. And that, you know, once again, that cerebral approach, that quick release, understanding that his offensive line is not the best right now, just getting rid of the ball quickly, quick reads, moving the pocket. And that's why I'm going to pick Tua right now.
Okay. And the reason that I'm going to go with Joe Burrow, just to be that guy, yeah, is for two reasons. The first reason is when we
jerk. What? Sorry.
Okay. I am a jerk, but that's separate. Keep that off the show. You know, the reason I would pick Tua here. Burrow here is because when we drafted Tua, we were trying to sell the farm for Burrow. We were trying to trade all of our players and all of our picks to move up to number one to get Burrow, but we couldn't do it because the Bengals were being little stinkers. Okay.
Were we doing it as an organization though, like Flores and Greer, or
okay,
with all respect to Mr. Ross, was it Mr. Ross trying to get the number one pick?
I don't have an answer for you because I don't know, but that's a decent hypothetical. And my second answer for you, my second reason is because Burrow played a better rookie season, I would say, with that terrible offensive line. He showed more his rookie year. And then I think they both have injury problems. So I don't think it's that different.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Look, I get it. Yeah, Burrow had a better rookie season. And before you go there, yes, Herbert had a better rookie season as well.
Yeah,
I want to see what Tua can do with a full off season, with a healthy body, being able to go there. Because last year, he didn't actually start playing football again until week two or week three of training camp, right? So, you know, I want to see what he's able to do with that full off season, complete strength back, confidence on that hip is back. That's what I would pick Tua on that, in those both scenarios, in both Burrow and Herbert.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next one because we have to agree to disagree there. Let's do Baker or Tua.
Look, I'm a big Baker fan and as of late, but I'm still going to go with Tua. I just think that Tua's ceiling is higher over the next 3 years than Baker.
Oh, and this is one I agree with. I think this one's almost easy for me because I think what Baker is going to be for the rest of his career, and I think he's good, but he needs an insane running game to make it work.
Yeah.
He needs, you know, some of the best wide receivers, tight ends in the NFL to even be like noteworthy. And,
by the way, one of an elite offensive line. This is something Brandon Howard said the other day on Twitter to me, and something I hadn't thought of is the Browns have probably the best offensive line and defensive lines in the league right now.
It's true. And they still barely make the playoffs. Well, I mean, I guess they made the playoffs. I think, did they go to the AFC Championship? They might have. No, it was right. They lost right before they could go because I think Chad Henne had a hell of a play to put them. Yeah, I remember now.
I do think that right now, Cleveland and the Bills are my number one and number two teams in the AFC.
Okay.
Interchangeable right now.
And it's probably not exclusively because of Baker.
It's not because of Baker. I think Baker is the least, the reason that I would least put up there.
Okay. Well, and I agree with you. The next one right here, Carson Wentz or Tua?
Tua.
The face he gave me when I asked that question.
I mean, seriously.
I don't have to do this either. If he was maybe in his almost MVP form, you might, and there was, and injuries did not exist in this world, you might have to go Carson, but not in this world. Okay, yeah. Next one. Trevor Lawrence or Tua?
That's a hard
Ooh,
one.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Honestly, I'm going to have to go with Trevor, man. It's and this is there no disrespect. Go. There's no disrespect to Tua. You know, I'm a huge Tua fan. It's just Trevor Lawrence is probably the best prospect I've seen coming out of college. It was a guy that people were calling him a first round pick, a first overall pick as a freshman coming into college. And I think he's just insane. I still think, though, that Urban Meyer is going to find a way true in him. And I'm very concerned about that.
Maybe the situation isn't great, but you have to say Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
is
but if Trevor wasn't
animal.
This, would you agree that if Trevor Lawrence was on this Dolphins team, they'd be a luck to make the playoffs?
Oh my gosh, easily.
And here's the thing. I think that with Tua, we're very close to being at least a very strong contender to be in the playoffs. But Trevor's insane athleticism, arm strength, the throws that he makes is just wow factor. All right. Well, so I think there's no disrespect to Tua. There's just Trevor's really good.
Well, the thing about Tua, I would have to say, is he has to overcome a lot to be a superstar. He does have to overcome being short. He does have to overcome being, you know, not that athletic. I mean, he's pretty athletic, but I wouldn't say he's Trevor Lawrence athletic.
Would you agree that Tua, the best word to define Tua athleticism is he's spry?
Yeah.
And that's not a word that you use with young people an awful lot. But
no,
it's just like he's able to navigate the pocket. He's got that little quickness and the hips to set up real quick, which is something, by the way, is elite already in him. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence can just take a zone read to the outside and run for 20, 30 yards. He's still going to bulk up. But let's be honest. I think Trevor is just more of an athletic big quarterback than Tua.
Yeah. And when just before we move on, the word spry, that's like something you use for like maybe your 60-year-old uncle who caught one pass at Thanksgiving dinner.
But Tua's is spry.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And let's say we love Tua, right? There's no disrespect to Tua. We love Tua. The name of the show is Two Amigos. So, I mean, that should be a clue, but let's also be just realistic and objective here, right?
Right. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, that's your first time that you've chosen anyone but Tua. So here we go. Tua or Bridgewater?
Tua.
Okay, that one's an easy one. I don't want to even go over it. Tua or Herbert?
Tua, for the same reason as I did with Burrow. I just want to see Tua with a full season under his belt because I think he can be just as successful as Herbert. And in this particular team where we have a strong defense, quick wide receivers, I think Tua's style of play suits the Dolphins better.
And I pick Herbert for the same reasons as I said the last time. Okay, let's move on. Mac Jones or Tua?
You already asked Mac Jones. I said Tua.
Did
man.
I say Mac Jones? Who am I thinking of then?
Daniel Jones.
Who?
Daniel Jones. I'd pick Tua.
It's Daniel Jones.
I'd pick Tua.
You pick Tua?
Yeah.
Okay, I would too. Daniel Jones has not showed me that he's a winner, but for some reason, Colin Cowherd picked Daniel Jones, of course. The next one is Jalen Hurts or Tua?
Tua. There's a reason why Tua was, you know, Jalen had to transfer out of Alabama when Tua was over.
Yeah, how could anyone argue that one? Okay, next one, Justin Fields.
That's a hard one, but I'm going to say Tua. I love Justin Fields, by the way. I love Justin Fields. I love Zach Wilson. I think their ceiling is very similar to Tua's, as like in contrast to Lawrence, who had a higher ceiling. I love Justin Fields, but I'm going to go with Tua.
I'm going to go Tua here because Justin Fields just feels like he might still be someone you're gambling on. And at least we know a little bit more about Tua after the first season.
Yeah.
Then it's Jared Goff or Tua.
I'm not even going to answer that, man.
Just look at the Rams Dolphins game last year and then tell me if you want Jared Goff or Tua. The next one, Sam Darnold or Tua.
I love Darnold, but I'm going to go with Tua.
Okay. Same here. And the last one, which is really tough. It's Trey Lance or Tua?
I'm going to have to say Tua, man.
Tua.
I think Trey Lance, once again, gunslinger, big arm. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I want a strong running game, strong defense, and a quarterback that's going to take care of the ball.
Okay. And just for the record, the game show is over. You only chose one over
two. But you didn't ask about all the quarterbacks, because I would right now pick Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers over Tua.
Okay, those are the easy ones. Those are like the Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yeah, Dak Prescott. I would also take Dak Prescott today over Tua, for example.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't take Fitz. Okay. I wouldn't take Fitz. I would take Russell Wilson today. I would take Matthew Stafford today over Tua.
Matthew Stafford? Oh, maybe for the next 3 years. Sure.
Yeah. And okay. I think Matthew Stafford is going to, by the way, be a huge success down in LA.
He definitely is going to be really, really good. I don't know why we're not talking about that enough, because he's got the genius. He's got Sean McVay down there, and
he's got a hell of an arm. He's a hell of a quarterback.
I know. And they have some good wide receivers down there too. So it's going to be interesting. Okay.
Okay. So this is an interesting one though. Ryan Tannehill or Tua.
Oh my goodness. That would be weird. That's a weird one, dude. That makes you feel like, oh, would you rather have your ex back or your new? I don't know. That makes me feel gross.
I'm a huge Tannehill fan.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think with Tannehill, it's very similar to Baker, right? He needs to have everything set up around him to elevate his game. While Tua, I think, has that it factor where he elevates other people's game around him.
Yeah,
but
it's
still a tough one. I'm not going to answer that one, but it's a tough one.
I pick Tua.
All right.
I pick Tua. I don't know.
Fair enough. As I said, I think Tua elevates the play of those around him. I don't think Tannehill does that.
Right.
And again, if you put them in the same offense, it's hard to decide.
If somebody's saying, do you want Tua and Miles Gaskin or Derrick Henry and Tannehill?
Then I think it's Derrick Henry and Tannehill, right?
Yeah. I suppose I would make that choice. But you know what I mean? Tannehill is nothing without Derrick Henry. Yeah. I'll tell you that much. Or at least not as much. You know, we've seen that.
Lamar Jackson or Tua?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? You didn't ask about those quarterbacks.
You're right.
Better Tua, I'd pick Tua any day of the week.
Okay, fine. I do apologize. Okay, so let's do our second game show. This is called Breakout or Bust. These players on the team, I have a lot of people have been talking about. They could be breaking out this season. You tell me if it's a breakout or a bust season.
Can I say, is there something in between?
There is. You can say breakout, bust, or you could also say the in-between. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Sounds
good.
Okay? Sounds good.
Then first one, Noah.
Bust.
Oh, okay. Let me hear it.
Look, here's the thing. Noah is very raw. He hasn't played that position for long. He's still very young. I don't think this is going to be his breakout season. I think that's going to happen in a couple of years' time.
We thought this was going to be his breakout season, though.
I don't know. After watching him in the preseason, I think he's gotten technically better, but he's still way behind other cornerbacks. I think that being a bust this season could change his mentality and make him understand that he has to attack this as a job and that this is not going to last forever. I think, once again, he was picked very young. I don't think he was fully aware and conscious of the position he was in, and that you cannot just rely on being the best athlete on the field. And that's, I think, something he's relying on way too much.
Yeah. And there was that play that he was playing against friggin' fourth stringers, and it was his best play of the preseason. It was the swat down, and everyone's like, well, X would have picked that off, you know? And
but X is X, right?
Yeah, I know. That's true. I suppose anyone would have picked that. I think Byron Jones would have picked that off too. Okay. Well, we're moving on to the next one. I probably say bust as well. I don't see it right now. And I think we're really leaning towards Nick Needham and Justin Coleman being a huge part of this defense.
And they're good. They're good nickel backs, you know? Yeah. And then you've got Byron and X on the outside. The question comes, if one of them gets injured, do you move Nick outside and make Coleman come in? Do you put Noah there? I mean, I think that's a question, right? Depth in that position.
I think they're going to do whatever it takes to keep Noah off the field.
Okay.
I do.
Do you think Trill Williams right now is better than Noah?
I think he has more confidence.
Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
That guy feels like he's a Pro Bowler, all pro already, man.
Yeah.
So I would rather have him out there until he loses that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So then the next one I have for you, is also just one more thing about Noah. I think him being a first round pick is really a curse for him, especially for his development, because he feels, and everyone around him feels, like he should be like a starter right now.
But he doesn't feel that though, because he doesn't feel that though. I'm not seeing that in his play and his confidence and his hunger.
No, right.
I'm just seeing a guy that it's way too reliant on his athleticism, that doesn't understand that this is the NFL and that he needs to improve technically and mentally an awful lot.
Okay. I agree. I agree with that he doesn't act like he's a first rounder, but I bet maybe like his athleticism, he just thinks he's so athletic that he can make up for it. I don't know. Okay. Second one, breakout or bust, Sam Aguavin.
With Guavin, I think it's going to be a breakout season for him.
Ooh.
I think McKinney gone makes him very interesting to that defensive staff. And you've already got a linebacker from the inside that can blitz an awful lot in Jerome Baker. Now, imagine if you could have both of them, one of them dropping into coverage, the other blitzing. You don't know who's coming. So I've got high hopes for Guavin this season.
Okay. And I'm in the same way. I mean, I don't think it can be just a one-off. You know, someone getting 4 sacks in one game, even if it's against backups, I think it has to be something. So we shall see. The last one we got for you, breakout or bust. And this player has broken out before, but then he was injured. Albert Wilson, breakout or bust.
I'm going to say in between, but more towards a breakout than the bust. And here's why. I think he's going to have some great games. I think he's going to be, you know, have some great stats sometimes. I also think that by design, this offense is not going to focus on just one player. And I think that if Albert Wilson is seeing a lot of the ball, then that means that Jalen Waddle is probably not seeing as much of the ball. And I rather see Jalen just because of the upside than Albert at this point of time with the ball in his hands. But I think he's going to be very solid. He's going to be a solid contributor. And he might win us one game by himself, just like he did with the Bears against the Bears a couple of years ago.
I know. And I've said this before on the show, too many cooks in this wide receiving room for me to think that it's going to be a huge season for him, but he'll definitely be like a security blanket on third downs, I think.
Yeah.
The final debate we have before the show ends, of course, is two amigos on the Dolphins Talk podcasting network. The last one we got for us is Jorge. Could the Dolphins win the AFC East?
No.
No. Okay.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is not...
Yeah.
You know, slide against the Dolphins. You know, Brian Flores has outperformed in the first 2 years. But I see the Bills, and I see probably the best, if not the second best team in the AFC East, you know, in the AFC overall, right? I just don't see the Dolphins being there right there. They've still got a very young team, a very young quarterback, especially a very young offensive line that I'm still not sold on. And honestly, I see the Bills going to the Super Bowl at this point in time. It's them or the Browns. They're even ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs in my rankings. So I just don't think the Dolphins are there yet.
I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter disagreeing with you, saying that they're gonna win the AFC.
Don't even get me started on Dolphins Twitter. Lately.
I know.
I mean, just
it's been it's getting to the point where you might have a mental breakdown. You know, the thing I will say, though, is how can you say that we would win the AFC East when we have never proven that we can beat the Bills?
Here's the thing. For the Dolphins to win the AFC East, one of the following has to happen, okay? Josh Allen disappearing for the whole season.
You mean like freak accident? Somebody like
I'm saying he got kidnapped by the UFOs, yeah.
Okay.
okay. Then Fair. Mitch Trubisky sucking way more than he did it with the Bears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley completely destroying the chemistry of that locker room.
Oh, well, maybe. It's possible.
Okay.
It's possible.
And then Sean McDermott just forgetting how to coach.
And he's a really good coach, so I don't think...
I think all of those have to happen for the Dolphins to actually win the AFCs. And I also wouldn't discount the Patriots, all right? You've got Bill Belichick, probably the second best NFL coach in history after Mr. Don Shula. And he's got a defense, once again, full of talent over there. An offensive line that's always good and always outperforms its status. Two very good tight ends. And he's got, you know, his dream offensive and defense coordinators back. You know, Matt Patricia's back. Josh McDaniel's still there. And I think they're going to be a top team to beat. I do think the Dolphins make it to the playoffs. I do think the Dolphins make it as a wild card. I do think the Dolphins stay ahead of New England this year. but it's not going to be a walk in the park. And that's, I think that's what bothers me of the Dolphins too lately. They're acting like if we won the Super Bowl 2 years running and we've been to the playoffs and we've been dominant. Guys, we haven't. This team hasn't yet proved that it can win the games that matter. All right. Let's all remember the debacle against Buffalo last year. Right.
Yeah.
Show me this team is ready to win when the spotlight is on them. And then I'll buy on this team actually winning the AFC East.
And also, I would say, in if we're having this conversation, who's going to win the AFC East? You're forgetting a team, Jorge. You ever heard of the Jets? You ever heard of the Jets?
I'm not even going to go there, man. Jets.
You ever heard of Zach Wilson and his mom?
Here's the thing. The Jets are actually a very young, very talented team that have a coach that I think is going to be a good head coach. I have to be proven right or wrong about that this season. But I think the AFC East is going to be the toughest division for the years to come. I think the Jets are a young team that are not going to be just a walk in the park either. I think they're a year behind the Dolphins, 3 or 4 years behind the Bills. But this Jets team is actually going to be very good for years to come. I don't think they're going to be competitive this year, you know, in the sense of winning the AFC East or even making the playoff talk. But I do think the Jets are going to be a stone in their shoe throughout the year.
I think, led by Zach Wilson and his mom, I think
you were weirdly obsessed with Zach Wilson's mom, by the way. This
I'm
is concerning.
Not.
Is that the person you had a date with?
I might have. Yes, I might have. Okay, she's pretty. Okay, and she treated me well. She bought dinner. No, I think it led by this upcoming, you know, great coaching staff, Zach Wilson and his mom. I like Elijah Moore on that team. I can't even
name
them.
I think the big, you know, Achilles heel in the Jets right now is a cornerback position where they don't have anyone that's proven at all.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. I agree.
I'm not even sure how many snaps they've seen as a group in the NFL. And I think that would be an interesting stat to find out. But I think that's going to be their biggest Achilles heel. I think their offensive line, I've read reports that Becton came out of shape, that he's not up to the level that he was last year. If that's the case, I think they're going to struggle. I do think Zach Wilson is going to have some growing pains just because he's a gunslinger mentality and he's going to be just basically thrown in there game one. Which I wouldn't. I think he's the sort of quarterback that would really take advantage of a year sitting down behind an experienced quarterback. But I think they're going to be good for years to come.
Okay.
I do think the AFC East is going to be the best division.
Okay, and this is what I'll say too. I think you stole my thunder a little bit at the end. I think the AFC East is going to be the best division in football in a year. Maybe this year. I don't know. It's perhaps. But the final word on the streets for me is that you beat the Bills at least one time, beat the Bills one time, and then Dolphins Twitter, we can talk about AFCs.
If the Dolphins start
2-0, never beat them.
If the Dolphins start 2-0,
yeah,
which is not out of the realm of possibility because it's at New England, at Miami, then let's have that conversation.
Right. Let's have it again in 3 weeks' time then. 3 weeks.
Yeah, after that Bills game. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Anything on the way out? Because last time you had a zinger on the way out, Jorge. You really brought us to our knees. What do you have for this time?
I don't remember what I said last week, but sure.
You said that Devontae Parker is the worst wide receiver you've ever seen and that he
never
should
said that,
be working at Arby's. That's what you said.
I never said that.
That's a little mean.
I never
mean.
Said that. And okay. I know Devontae Parker is going to listen to this, and I never said that, Devontae. I just want to make that very clear. Yeah. No, I do think that, you know, the Dolphins have a solid roster. I think there's a lot of depth at certain positions and the concerning lack of depth at others.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair.
I think quarterback, we've got great depth behind Tua, who I think is going to have a breakout season. I think in the running game, we've also have some good depth behind, you know, Gaskin. I think there's great depth behind Gesicki. There's great depth at that, you know, wide receiver room. There's not a lot of depth right now, proven depth behind that offensive line. I think there's great depth on that defensive line, but not a great depth behind the outside linebackers or rushers. I think there's some concern on the depth behind the cornerbacks, right after X and Byron. And I think we have a great safety group.
I think so too. And that's the word. This is the end of the show. Thank you for listening. This has been the Two Amigos on the DolphinsTalk.com podcasting banner. Week 2, we'll see you next week, which is going to lead us into the glory land of week 1. Goodbye, Jorge.
Goodbye, Carter.